mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You
well, I suppose we have some new submissions. I feel like it's been a while since we've pulled out the old list of things inside Jen's Mary Poppins bag.
I've been adding to it, though.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah. Like, anytime something comes up, I'll add to it.
What are we up to now?
In terms of the number?
Yeah.
I don't have them numbered, but, I mean, it's probably close to 20.
All right. So, Chu, I reached down into my bag this morning to pull out the power cord for the old laptop. And I said to Gabe, oh, there's my daughter's leotard for gymnastics.
That is the 21st submission that we have. Chewy is outpacing you with the list of arrogances that he's had.
No question.
Yeah,
no question.
But I've gotten help.
I mean, people were submitting arrogance yesterday. What were we talking about yesterday that people were submitting arrogance for?
Oh, were they? I was unaware.
I forgot to tell you. I'll see if I can find
it.
So I have my daughter's uniform for school and her leotard for gymnastics in the bag. You can go ahead and add it to the list. But then, Chewy, I said to Gabe, I said, do you also have like the, fake hair, the bag of hair? Do you have the bag of hair?
Oh, yeah. That's number four.
Ho. Is that for deer?
What?
Is that for deer?
Deer hair? What are you talking about?
No, to keep the deer away from your, especially early in the year, tulips that come up early and things like that, when you get a haircut, you ask for the hair back and then you spread it amongst the flowers. Is that what that is?
First of all, had no idea going to do that. Second of all, absolutely not. This is fake hair for television.
Ah.
You know.
What, do you clip them in?
Yeah, you clip them right in.
Is this the first you're hearing of extensions?
No, but extensions are usually woven
permanent. I just do temporary.
You could do both. Give a little volume to it.
Love that I keep it in a Ziploc bag, by the way. A gallon Ziploc bag.
Yucky looking bag.
I was just thinking back to the time that my hairdresser gave me fake hair. Because they're trying to create a new market. Remember I told you this? A new market for men. And she's like, can I practice on you? And I'm like, yeah, what the hell? So she put like 4 2-inch strands of fake hair in my head.
How'd it go?
It's tough when you're washing your hair and you forget. Because your fingers get between the hair and it kind of rips your scalp.
Ugh,
so,
that's fun.
You forgot you had fake hair in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
I could see it too.
Yeah, that tracks.
Confirm that we were all on the same page. So you got that on there. You got a curling iron on there? I got a curling iron in here.
No, I don't have the curling iron on there.
Curling iron in the old Mary Poppins bag. Charger.
Yeah.
Lotion.
Yep.
Celsius.
Food?
No Celsius. I mean, again, we've got the dirty diaper. We've got your kids. Well, I guess kids' underwear and socks is different than the leotard. A spilled water bottle, fake hair, a hot dog. Is the hot dog still in there?
Absolutely not.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make
sure.
A long
time ago.
Well, I don't know if it was even. I don't know if that was eaten. That's change of clothes.
Sports bra?
Yeah. I've got Jen underwear in case she didn't pack enough.
Sports bra.
Yeah. Change of clothes. Yep. A single grape.
A quarter.
I'm out. a what?
A quarter. How often should I be cleaning out my work bag, by the way? More often, obviously, than I am. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But how often?
Weekly.
Probably once a week for you.
I don't have time for that. Gabe, can you do it for me?
No.
I don't. But you do all the things for Chew.
Yeah, but he's not walking around with dirty diapers in his work bag.
Jen, you went about it the wrong way, though.
Okay.
Because you should have said, Chew, will you have Gabe clean my work? And then he probably would have done it.
That's an excellent point by you. Here's something I bet we do not have.
The second dirty diapers enter the equation, I'm
out. Again, I don't know how often I need to explain this. It was a wet diaper. It was not a dirty diaper. If you ask pull the parents out there. There is a very harsh and strict distinction between a dirty diaper and a wet diaper. Pee-pee is pee-pee. Dirty is doo-doo.
Dirty kids... is dirty. Either it's a clean diaper or it's a dirty diaper.
Do your kids eat asparagus? Because that technically would have been a dirty diaper.
Yeah.
Even if it was just pee-pee. I also have a stack of newspapers from 2008 in the old work bag today because we're working on a digital series of some of the sporting events. I don't know if y'all remember 2008 in Wisconsin sports. It was a doozy.
Newspapers? Yep. Okay.
2008. Are you surprised that I have newspapers from 2008?
No, because you're a pack rat.
No, I'm...
Yes.
Are you a hoarder?
I'm not a hoarder at all.
Then how do you have newspapers from 2008?
So 2008 was a big year in Wisconsin sports.
Sure, but... Also, there's the internet.
There was a time when, I don't know why people did it, to be quite frank, but everyone, big moments, everyone collected the newspaper.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I don't think that really happens much anymore. I'm sure it does. Some people are still practicing that.
I am not. But back in 2008, when I had a subscription to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, when there were big sports stories, like I have papers from opening day, I have papers from Ben Sheets' injury, I have papers from CeCe Sabathia being acquired, obviously the Brewers playoff run, like the battle between them and the Cubs that season. So we're going to do a digital series, just kind of looking back on some of these newspapers. So I got them here in my bag. But yes, that is something that you can go ahead and add to the list, this stack of 2008.
It's a fire hazard.
What are you, around with an open flame?
I don't know. You've got children.
Spontaneous combustion can happen.
Yeah, Chewy spontaneously combusts on the show every day.
Anything in Jen's house catches fire, it's going up like that. She's got old newspapers just stacked up everywhere.
Well, just, again, in my office, and again, part of the reason that I pulled them out is because we're cleaning the office, getting rid of some stuff, and I said, how about these newspapers? And by the way, it is not just Brewers.
Cleaning since 2008?
No, but I keep some of this stuff. You know, I have a cool job, Gabe. It's nice to have some mementos from it. 2008 was a big year for the Packers as well, if you recall. I got a whole stack of Packers. No, not on the field.
On the field, there were 6-10.
Of Packers newspapers.
Is that when they traded Brett?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was 2008?
Yeah.
Wow. Like I said, big year. Now, maybe I should have planned this a little better and held on to the papers for another 3 years, and we could have done a 20th anniversary of 2008 or something like that.
Yeah, at some point, I would assume they're just going to start disintegrating. You start touching them, and they just kind of turn to dust.
What is the oldest thing you have in your house?
Oldest thing I have in my house. Ooh, that's a great... So I still have the first ever jersey I got, which is a Sterling Sharp jersey. So that's probably from like 93, 94.
Okay.
It's probably the oldest thing I have in my house.
Okay, that makes sense. Chew, what's the oldest thing you have in your house?
Maybe my high school jersey, football jersey. So
okay.
That'd be 80, 87. So that's a ways back.
I have my baby blanket. Like my mom's friend crocheted a baby blanket for me when I was born.
What'd you call it?
I don't think I had a name for a blanket, for my blanket. I mean, maybe Blanky?
Yeah,
maybe.
Blanky was, yeah. This baby Blanky was just Blanky.
It's like when you're naming a dog and people are like, maybe Max? You know what I mean? What was your Blanky's name?
I didn't have a Blanky, but one of the kids did, and they called it a Whoopi.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, Whoopi.
Mm-hmm. But he would tuck that thing in his mouth when he slept, and you'd sit there and you'd just pull and pull and pull, and I'm like, how the heck does he get this whole blanket in his mouth?
No wonder you knew how all the magic tricks worked.
Yeah.
And
the smell?
You raised it.
The smell.
Oh,
just
I can't imagine.
Can't imagine. Reek.
Joshy, what's the oldest thing you have in your house?
I've been sitting here thinking, maybe like a pair of boots. I have a pair of Red Wing boots. I don't, like... Other than my actual yearbooks that date to freshman year, I don't keep anything.
Really?
I don't really have much that I view as like sentimental value.
No hand-me-downs or family heirlooms or anything like that?
No. I don't want any of that stuff at this point in my life because as we've detailed on the show, I move every year. So moving all that stuff every single year, not fun.
No vintage flannels?
Question for Josh. Josh, what's your oldest flannel?
That's Gabe just went. I go through them quickly because the elbows get holes in them from use. Like They rattle through them pretty. It's probably a piece of clothing or a pair of shoes.
Do you wear the t-shirt under the flannel because of stink? And the longevity of the flannel is a little longer?
No, I just, like, sometimes I want to wear the flannel open, so... Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to be bare-chested out here. I got to work. I don't think that's acceptable.
Josh, but you're Italian.
I'm not trying to let the chest lettuce hang out.
Gold chains? His Mr. T starter kit?
He's got the taco meat just screaming.
I don't have great chest hair. I couldn't really pull that off. Not my thing.
Oh, I have some fake hair here for you. If you're interested, what is the oldest thing in your house? Frankie weighing in saying, the oldest thing I have in my house is my mother.
It's probably the people, to be honest.
Okay, people aside, you know, then I start thinking, right? So I immediately went to the baby blanket, which I'm 44, so it'd be about 44 years old. But I have a Victrola from Dario's great, like his aunt, from, you know, when I guess people used Victrolas. That's in our basement. That must be significantly older than the baby blanket. So maybe that's the oldest thing in my house.
Do you use it?
That thing's. Got any good
vinyls?
Money.
We got some good vinyls. It's not worth as much as you'd think, Chew, which is why it's still in my basement and because, in someone else's house.
Well, because vinyls had one. Yeah, well, and vinyls made a pretty big comeback, so you can get like a pretty nice, unless it's like one of those like really big built out ones, but you can get, I mean, really good, you know, for not that much. So why would you spend on a on an old one that's not going to be as good?
Again, we'll just keep holding on to it and see. It's nice to have it. I we probably won't use it. But yeah, she's got some big band albums there. That's kind of fun to put on and hear it come through that speakerphone. And it's a fun little thing to have in the basement, that's for sure. What is the oldest thing in your house? This comes up because I just pulled out some newspapers from 2008. We're doing a digital series here on ESPN Milwaukee's social channels to talk about kind of looking back on that year in Wisconsin sports. And that got us thinking, what is the oldest thing in your house? Gabe, besides a jersey, no family heirlooms, nothing that your parents have given you? And
I don't think so. Because when my parents just recently moved out of like our childhood house, and like I had yearbooks and a bunch of old stuff. My mom's like, do you want? No, I don't. there's I mean, it's been in your house for how long? I'm not going to go back and look at it.
But someday, when maybe you guys have kids, maybe you guys decide, you don't want to show your kiddos your yearbooks?
Not really.
The yearbooks are great because if somebody brings somebody up that you haven't thought of in years, you got to be able to refer back to them and what they looked like at that time.
Oh, but you got, I mean, there's Facebook, there's
some of those people disappear. Some of those people, maybe intentionally or unintentionally.
When are you allowed to get your kids' crap out of your house? Like, I have a 30-year-old that still has, like, 3 bins of crap in our house.
Mm-hmm. 3 is low, dude.
Yeah.
3 is low.
Am I allowed to be like, hey, either you take it or I'm doing something with it?
1,000,000%. Yeah. Of course you are.
Absolutely. See, even before my parents moved, they had that threat. Hey, come pick up your stuff. I'm like, get rid of it. I don't care.
I think we've passed it. Does this child have their own home?
Yes.
Then, yeah. Get it up out of there.
All right.
Now, I say this, you know, very emphatically, knowing that I've got bins at my mom and dad's down in Illinois for sure.
And what happened if your mom decided to, you know, give those the old heave-ho?
It'd be fine. Okay. At this point, it'd be fine. I have all the things I need. I have the yearbooks. I have my Letterman jacket from high school, you know, which, again, I'm not going to do anything with. I'm not wearing it around on Friday nights going to the burger joint.
I think you should. I think you should. You know who would be really embarrassed if you did that?
My kids. All right, I'll hold on to it. Could be useful. But my kids might enjoy seeing that someday. You know, I remember when my dad pulled out all of his old stuff from high school and we sat on the floor of the bedroom one day and just kind of went through it and showed us. And it was a different perspective on my dad. Kind of made him a person as opposed to dad. You know, oh, dad had a whole life before we were around, you know. Sorry, SOB. Hey, Dad, we're real sorry about how we messed everything up. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. What is the oldest thing that is in your house? Jeff in the 920 says, me. I'm 68. I'm 20 years older than my house. Yeah, that could happen, too. But don't you have anything from when you were a kiddo? The oldest thing that I have in my house, Chef Ed says, is a framed ticket stub from the Ice Bowl.
Ooh.
Alan says, I have a desk from a relative that dates back to the 1880s.
Jeez.
Damn.
John in the MKE says, I have a couple of pairs of socks.
Good luck beating that, by the way.
They're 25 years old.
I was thinking I got a pair of undies or socks that have just been rolling around in the back of the drawer for who knows how long, and they're just kind of there.
We got a lot of stuff.
The emergency pair in case you run out of laundry.
Glass. Yeah. Uh-huh.
No. At some point, I realized that I have enough disposable income now that I don't have to wear the old underwear. You know, like earlier, when I was younger, it was like I don't want to spend money on underwear. We just keep recycling these. Now,
who are you kidding? You're somebody who keeps the ketchup packets from takeout. You're telling me that if there's one pair of old underwear in the back, you're not going, oh, I'll just do laundry and throw these on pair. For the day?
Only because at one point I made a deliberate effort to empty the underwear drawer. That's the only reason I can be confident in saying this. But yes, I am still working through scarcity mindset, Gabe. I have said this to you, okay? Yeah. What if we need ketchup? You never know.
Does Goodwill accept underwear?
Absolutely not.
I do not believe so. I believe there are sanitary reasons opposed to that.
All right, fair
there are
enough.
A lot of things we say on this show with a high level of confidence. That was number one with a bullet right there. Goodwill does not take your old drawers.
A good pair of underwear is hard to let go. The comfy pair?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, even if it's got a little hole, that doesn't matter.
I've carried out some holes for way too long. They're the comfy ones. They're the best.
Yeah.
We got a lot of reaction rolling in on the Carblitz Talk and text line, 800-990-3776. If you want to get us the oldest thing you have in your house. Woo! Some of these are really incredible, guys. I'll get to them as the show goes on. Look, a lot of stuff for us to get to this morning as we wrap up the warm-up. Brian Gutekunst spoke yesterday about the Green Bay Packers. Talked about a lot of things. Not sure he said a lot. We'll try to dive into that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Guys, let me tell you about our friends at the Ewald Automotive Group. The best used cars are available, and they're available right now, starting at under $15,000. Choose from hundreds of hand-selected quality used vehicles, all with a 133-point inspection, all with a 3-day exchange policy, and all starting under $15,000. Best used cars starting at under $15,000 only at the Ewald Automotive Group. I trust Ewald. You should trust Ewald as well. It's the only place I go, and they always make it easy. It's another reason to go to Ewald. It all starts at ewaldauto.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. You all right back there?
That's so true.
It was a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
There's not a... No, she got right up to me, took out a Glock, and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We have Adam Schefter coming up in just a few moments here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But before we get to that, I want to go over at least a couple of things that Brian Gutekunst said yesterday at the NFL Combine when he met the media. Full disclosure, there were two availabilities. One with the local media, where guys like Schneidman and Tim Van Vorn and local Wisconsin sportscasters could hear from the GM. And then he steps in front of the podium where everyone can listen. Now, they try to stagger the GM so that they're not going all at the same time. They have like an order of events, order of operations, if you will. So anyone can go. Any member of the media can show up to that one, obviously, and ask Brian Gutekunst questions. So it's tough to know if the guys who were asking these questions were all local guys, if some of them were national guys. Like, sometimes you don't know who is asking the questions. But Brian Gutekunst, true to form, guys, did not reveal a lot, which is why I think Chewy deserves a medal. For yesterday, accurately, or mostly accurately, predicting how he would answer the questions, the biggest questions, the most pressing questions for the Green Bay Packers this year. Chew, when you saw the things that Goody said, were you surprised by anything he said yesterday?
No. Nothing.
So let's begin with this.
I mean, again, the guy nailed it.
I mean, I pretty much...
Chewy nailed it.
I'm just saying if he had said something, we would have used that as a launch point. But I got one. Yeah. I got a backup. Yeah. Don't worry. In case of emergency, break glass. I think the confluence of information yesterday that's most interesting to Green Bay Packers fans is no pass rushers. Okay? If it's not Andrew Berry talking about Myles Garrett, if it's not the information about Max Crosby and getting a extension with the Raiders, it doesn't really feel like the guys that people want, the guys that Packers fans want, are going to be available, which, to be honest, Gabe, is something you've been saying for weeks. You didn't think that that was a reality.
It kind of didn't seem like these guys wanted to budge, and they held true to that yesterday.
So now what?
Roll it back.
Prayer?
Right?
In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Having said that, because we talked about it, I think, out of the end of the show yesterday, do you believe that when he went to Murphy or Murphy gave him permission to trade that first pick, it's not moving forward? Would you agree now after everything we learned yesterday?
No, because I heard the full comments. And he was asked about trading it for a pass rusher specifically.
There isn't anyone out there. Who are you going to give up a first-round pick for?
Right, but you have to contextualize it. When news became of that they were seeking trades, Goody went then forward and said, well, would we be able to trade this pick if we were able to get something done for Myles Garrett?
See, I look at Goody's MO, and it's the complete opposite. It's, can I trade the first round pick to garner more picks farther down the draft? I think that's part of it, because people will be upset, right? If it comes to 23 and they've traded the pick away to so and so for their 2 seconds.
Guess it depends on what you get with the 2 seconds, to be perfectly honest with you.
If it's 2 seconds, I would be pissed off, Chewy. I'd be pissed off because this team, like, you already have the youngest team in the bleeping league. Like, go get a really good player. Like, use 23 on getting somebody good instead of going, well, maybe we'll get 2 guys and one of them will be good.
But this is the nuance, Gabe, and I hear you. I believe you. I actually want to side with you. The problem is, of course, we just told you that there might not be anybody good out there. It might be all... What? Bees. And in the list here that we have, and obviously you guys have seen it before, but Josh Sweat, Chase Young, Khalil Mack,
Aziz Ojulari.
Thank you. Milton Williams. Is that a person?
Yeah. He made some impact plays
Milton
in the Super
Bradley?
Bowl.
That's, I mean, Mil- I,
oh, by the way,
I
Milton
feel like
Williams.
I would remember somebody named Milton, but I'd
Milton Williams is right up the Packers' alley.
Yes.
Somebody who
but
had like 5-6 sacks a year ago.
Pick.
Well, no, but he's a free agent. What I'm saying, Chewy, is take somebody, if you're not going to trade the first round pick for somebody good, stay put and draft somebody at 23.
Or trade up.
Yes, do that too.
Make a move to get better, materially better. Get one of those guys, because we all know almost no draft has 32 first-round picks with the way that they grade out. So what you do then is you go, well, here's a guy we think could be an actual difference maker. Why not go up to 12? Now, that's maybe a bad pick for Green Bay Packers in recent history with, was it 13 for Lucas Van Ness?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But go make a play. You're in a spot now where you're not just adding depth. That's no longer what the Packers need.
You guys want to make a bet? I'll make this bet, and I'll win. I know I'll win.
I mean,
I'll take a trade back, and you guys take a trade forward.
Well, what Stan Pat is still the most likely, so what then?
Well, I get that, too.
Oh, what?
You're so adamant.
Wait, okay. What?
Yeah. No, you're so adamant that he's going to trade up. I think this whole thing is trade out and go back.
We're just saying that it is a possibility.
Nobody's adamant, Chewy. We're just saying that's what I would like to see, even though it's unlikely. Like, I would love to see them trade up, because you don't need more players. Like, I know Goody wants to have more
picks. As many picks as possible.
Because that's like the safe zone.
My precious.
But you can't have, like, if you go and get more picks and they end up with 10, not all 10 of those guys are going to be making this roster.
Right.
There's just not enough spots.
And to be perfectly honest with you, there's a little bit of a issue with the guy who keeps collecting the picks, thinking that he's going to hit on all of the picks, right? Like, there's that hubris, there's that ego. Of course you believe, Brian Gutekunst, that you're going to make the best pick with the available pick. Of course you believe that. Obviously, the evidence doesn't shake out that way. We got to get to break because we got to get to Adam Schefter, but we are going to put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. What do you think? Not what do you want, but what do you think the Green Bay Packers will do with their first pick? They did also, I read the Schneidman article, that Gutekunst was sort of half joking. Remember we talked yesterday, could they have been joking? Could it have been sarcasm, being aware of the narrative about not wanting to trade the first pick because the draft is in Green Bay? Schneidman did say there was a little tongue-in-cheek there about like, he's going to let me do it. He's going to let me. It's open. We've had those conversations. Not saying it's not going to, just saying that it was a little like, we know what y'all are saying. These are the conversations that we have had. Adam Schefter is next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We're putting it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. What do you think they will do with their first round pick? Trade up, trade back for more picks, stand pat. Let us know, and we will have Adam Schefter right around the corner.
everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you have more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And here is the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
It's always hard to beat a team three times one season. It just is. I wouldn't be surprised if they meet again, and I wouldn't be surprised if Green Bay is in that game and Green Bay has a chance to win that game.
Adam Schefter on JGC is sponsored by Island Resort and Casino. Gaming, casual, and fine dining. Two golf courses, a luxury spa, and live entertainment. Your total experience is at the Island.
It's always a good week to check in with Adam Schefter, but particularly when the NFL Combine is going on. Good morning, Adam. How are you doing today?
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing?
Good. Are you in Indianapolis?
I am in Indianapolis. I got here yesterday.
Indianapolis. First things first. Yes. What's the oldest thing in your house?
The oldest thing in my... You know, I was riding in yesterday with somebody on my flight. Who was involved in the combine. And I said, how old are you? He said, 31. I said, I've been coming to the combine longer than you've been alive. This is my 33rd combine.
Wow, that's incredible. It's changed a lot, hasn't it, in the 33 years?
Jen, when I first came to this event back in the early 1990s, there were about 7 or 8 reporters standing in the lobby of the Holiday Inn right up the street here. We would get the players as they got done with drills. We'd share transcripts. So we had the transcripts leading up to the draft. You'd see some GMs. It went from, let's just call it 8 reporters in 1992 to, I would say, roughly 1,800 reporters here today. It's incredible.
Adam, is the turf still considered slow by players? Because it was slow when I went. Matter of fact, it was a little uphill.
Of course it was. Yeah, and it was snowing also.
Yeah, that somehow the roof wasn't on the building. The weather was terrible.
I had a headwind. It was ridiculous, Adam.
You know, you've heard those stories about them opening the tunnel, you know, opening the tunnel.
Yeah, sure.
They opened it when Chewy was running the 40 in the arcade dome, too.
Yeah. They time me with a sand dial.
What round did you go? The 5th round?
Six.
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 Okay.
And Adam, as I was leaving, I kind of knew where I stood when they came up and said, "You are a really good long snapper." So, Adam, 92.
Literally, your combine might have been my first year. In fact,
was the first one.
Blew me off in the lobby of the Holiday Inn that I was trying to
get. Yeah.
He was a little upset after his 40 times, so you have to excuse him.
Well, now I understand. After all these years, I finally can let it go.
Adam, so we've been battling a little bit this morning. Goody spoke yesterday there and said he had received permission from Mark Murphy to trade the first-round pick if it's available. I think he would go back. They think he would go forward. But I remember what Ron Wolf always said. Ron Wolf always said, he said, look, there's probably 12, 14, 16, 15 guys in the first round that are special. Then the gap isn't that big between, say, 15 and 40. It's not a very big gap. And by all accounts, everything I read is this draft is like, meh, right? What are your thoughts?
Now, hold on. I just want to do a little housekeeping here. We don't think that they will move up. We're saying it is a possibility that they will move up. Adam, we think it's more likely that they will stand pat with that first-round pick.
Well, of course. I mean, if you look at every draft that they've engaged in, every Goody draft, how many times has he moved off the one? He moved up for Jordan Love, right?
Yeah.
Have they moved another time in the first round?
No, I mean, they had the pick swap with the Jets when they traded Rodgers, so they technically moved up a little bit on their pick that year, but that's it under Goody.
That's not a draft day move where there's a guy on the board throwing up the board to go get that guy.
Correct.
And so, to the best of my memory, he's done it one time on the clock. On the clock, okay? Like, we're jumping up here to go get our guy. And to the point that we're all making here, I had a conversation with the GM the other day. We were talking about the draft, general thoughts on it. And he said, a lot of really good talent in the mid-rounds, rounds 3, 4, 5. That's the strength of this draft. And he said to me, he felt like the player that you get at number 10 is the same you get as the at pick number 35. That was exactly what he said to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of guys from 10 to 35 that are very similar.
And that's why, Adam, I think Goody was asking Murphy or whatever, is it okay? Because it'll upset the fans having it be in Green Bay if we get the 23 and the Packers trade their pick to the second round. I mean, fans are going to be upset, right? In Green Bay?
Well, you know what? I remember we were in, I think it was Kansas. It was somewhere, a draft, and that team moved back and out of the first round. I think it was Kansas City, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken, years ago. You're not worried about the fan reaction. You're worried about making the best possible move for your team, whether that's going up or back. You don't care. That is no bearing on this whatsoever. None.
Even though it's Murphy's baby and he is gone after this draft, you don't think he'd be upset?
Zero.
No? Zero?
Zero.
Okay, fair enough.
Zero.
Fair enough.
Zero.
Fair enough.
They're going to make the move, the best move for their team, whether that's at their current pick, whether that's moving up 5 picks, moving back 5 picks. And by the characterization of this draft, that would tell you that if they're going to make a move, I mean, you got to find somebody that wants to come up. Who's somebody coming up for? Like, that's the issue
good
in this.
Point. Mm-hmm.
Okay, like, somebody's going to have to want to come up. And if they're wanting to come up for a guy, maybe that's the guy that you didn't think was going to last to you, and you're going to take that guy. But you're not going to say, like, boy, we have this great offer to move out of the first round, and then we get 2 twos and a one next year, and we're not going to do that because this is – Mark Murphy's last draft, and it's in Green Bay.
Yeah, to your point, Adam, nothing messes up a curated legacy like meddling in that way on your way out the door, right? Like, that's what you would be remembered for.
There's no way. They're going to – that all that, the draft in Green Bay, Mark Murphy's – all that is irrelevant to the pick that they have and will make. Their job is to make the best pick possible. I do want to say this also. I don't know if there's anything that you guys can do, and I don't know how accurate and reliable this is, but I checked the long-range 60-day forecast for the draft in April in Green Bay.
And?
And oh, my God. The forecast for that night was like 28 degrees night of the draft.
That's warm.
I'll just say this. I said this to one of my producers the other day because he's going there this week to kind of scout at the locations. They're going over stuff. I said to him, I went to college at Michigan in Ann Arbor. I went to graduate school at Northwestern in Chicago. And I think two of the three coldest moments of my life were the draft in Chicago and the draft in Cleveland.
Oh.
The draft in Cleveland put me on like some perch. And it was like a wind tunnel, and I was miserable. And the one in Chicago was unbelievable. So, and by the way, the draft this year is even earlier. It's like a week earlier or 2 weeks earlier than it normally is, and it's in Green Bay. Like, I'm just telling you, I know you all are used to it, but I am very soft, and I am going to be very, very.
Whatever that sound was that Adam made, we need to clip that and sound graph that because it was so good. And there are a lot of things on this show that I could use that reaction for. Go ahead, Gabe.
So, Adam, at the Combine, Myles Garrett has been a topic of conversation. Andrew Berry, Browns GM, said he's immovable. They're not going to move him. Why is it when, because I feel like, especially in recent years, I can think of a handful of guys who have requested trades but ultimately have stayed put. Why is it like that in the NFL? Because I feel like in the NBA, the second a guy asks for a trade, he's gone 2 days later.
Well, that is an interesting comparison. I think that we've seen more and more players in the NFL try to seize more and more power. But the rules are not exactly the same. And it does seem like in the NBA, when a player asks for a trade, very rarely is he not traded. Whereas in the NFL, we heard Lamar Jackson say he wanted to be traded only to sign a new deal with Baltimore a month later. Deebo Samuel say he wanted to be traded only to sign a new deal with the 49ers. Brandon Ayuk, same thing. I think in the case of Myles Garrett, I think that they'd have to accelerate $36 million. So when you talk about him being immovable, he's immovable on the field. And I don't want to say he's immovable off the field, but he's difficult to move off the field, A, because they don't want to, and B, because there's financial implications, and C, they'd have to get what they believe is commensurate compensation for a guy that's going to be in Canton one day. And I don't know if some team's going to be willing to give up, say, two ones that they've already said that they wouldn't take. So there's a lot to it. A lot to it.
Adam, as far as the Packers go going forward, the Devontae Adams thing is just lingering out there for them. Obviously, we have to wait for the Jets to release him. That hasn't become official yet. Are you hearing anything about there being any sort of inevitability? We just think it's a perfect fit since they have a need at the wide receiver position. They have a veteran need at the position. He's obviously familiar with the organization. Have you heard anything about a reunion between Devontae Adams and the Green Bay Packers?
Well, I just got to Indy yesterday, and obviously the talk here will, there'll be a lot of different talks all week long, and I feel like I'll leave here more educated than I was when I first got here yesterday afternoon. So I don't have a full authoritative answer. I would just say this, that yes, that does make sense. Yes, I would think that Green Bay would be interested. I also would say that Aaron Rodgers may have some interest in playing with Devontae Adams. Where's Aaron Rodgers going to be? Are the Rams going to trade Matthew Stafford? If they trade him, that would open a spot for Aaron Rodgers and conceivably maybe Devontae to go out west. What does Devontae want at this point in his career? Where does he want to be? Like, there's a lot of questions. Does Green Bay make sense? Yes. Would it be one of the places I think he'd consider? Yes. Do I think it's an automatic and it's getting done? No. I think there's a lot that still has to unfold here.
Adam, are you a fan of the tush push, and do you think that it will survive a competition committee vote?
I would guess that it's going to be hard to get 24 votes to overturn it. I know we heard Raheem Morris, Sean McDermott, and your Green Bay Packers complain about it, but I think it's a tough thing to actually define. Is it that you're defining that you can't push a guy's tush literally into the line? Are we stopping quarterback sneaks? Are they not allowed? What about a running back when he's running downfield and we see those scrums where offensive linemen are pushing him? Wide receivers or tight ends. I'm sure there have been catches you made, Chewy, back in the day where all of a sudden a linebacker's got you held up, as rare as that occasion was, where all of a sudden your teammates come in and they're pushing you, right? Like, how are we defining this? Is the quarterback sneak no longer allowed in football? Like, what is the rule banning this look like?
But, I mean, shouldn't this be easier? I mean, Adam, the league redefines what a catch is every other year to the point where the fan base, when anytime they go to a replay, we're flipping coins trying to figure out if it's going to be a catch or not. Isn't it just as easy as going, no, you can't push the runner. Anybody who has the football, you cannot push. You cannot help get, you know, extra yardage. Like it would be pretty easy to define based on some of the other things that they've tried to define and haven't been able to do successfully.
I'm curious. And I don't know the answer to this. I'd have to see video. On that tush-push play, if they ban the pushing of the tush, would the Eagles still be able to run that play to a high degree of effectiveness? And my guess would be yes.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because a lot of it is Jalen Hurts' strength.
Yeah, he can just, you know, squat a truck.
And Jordan Mailata and Cam Jurgens and Lane Johnson and Mekhi Becton, like, they're just bigger and stronger than a lot of lines. And so, okay, so maybe somebody's not pushing him. But I don't know, like, if the play right now has a 92% success rate or an 88, I think I'm in the range.
I think it's like 92 with the Eagles and one other team, and then 87 I saw for the league.
Okay, so let's just say you are no longer allowed to push a tush. If that's how we're going to define it, because I would think that's really the way to change
the
rule.
You just like saying pushing and tushing.
I'm just trying to go by what they call it. I'm not outside the bounds of.
You're like a doctor trying to talk to us in the medical. So, okay, I get it.
Anyway, let's just say you can't push the tush anymore, and he could just sneak the ball. what is his success rate going to be there? Is it going to be 70%, 75%? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting because the Green Bay Packers have actually used a version of it with Tucker Kraft, which we here call the cheesy squeezy.
No. No. We do not do anything, Jen.
Which some of us call the cheesy squeezy. Other people call it the cheese.
But with Kraft,
wedge.
It's just a straight sneak because they're in the shock and they don't have anybody behind him pushing him. Because he comes in motion, lines up, and I think that's the way the Packers do it because he's one of their stronger players.
So is that
players.
What the Packers are aiming for then, you think? Is to say, hey, the way that we do it is the right way. If we can just allow this way and not that way, we'd be happy.
No, I think the league wanted to talk about it, and the Packers ended up being the guinea pig that
fell on the sword.
Yeah, that just floated it out there.
You get that impression, Adam? That the league wanted to talk about it, and the Packers were like, all right, we'll take this one.
No, because when it's come up during the year, I've never gotten this sense from members of the competition committee that I've spoken to during the season about various rules. I never heard this outpouring of, boy, we need somebody to come out here and back the ban of the tush push or the squeezy cheesy, or whatever we're going to call it.
There we go. That's a victory. Got it backwards, but it's still a victory. I got Adam Schefter to say cheesy squeezy.
Say it five times fast. Squeezy cheesy, squeezy cheesy, squeezy cheesy.
Thrilled. Absolutely thrilled. I'm going to go home now. I feel like that's my high mark for the day. Adam, we appreciate you hanging out with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, even when we drag you into our nonsense. Have a great one. We'll talk to you.
Jen, I give you two sound bites. You can play my oof about the whole thing.
Honestly, listen, it's valuable either way, but yeah, that just takes it up a notch when you're able to give us that type of gold, Adam.
All right, everybody, have a great day. We'll talk to you next week.
You too. Enjoy the combine, sir.
Our conversations each and every week with Adam Schefter, brought to you by the Island Resort and Casino. It's a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
What are the odds that we could get Adam Schefter to say cheesy squeezy on ESPN?
Very low.
Okay. Now you can go to break. Sorry, Joshy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times.
I know.
Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. I did. But I don't.
There was an incident?
There was one.
Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Appearance by Adam Schefter here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. If you missed any of it, you can always find it on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts. Again, the fact that he said squeezy cheesy and the fact that he gave us that sound effect after describing what he saw when he looked at the extended forecast for Green Bay during the NFL draft. Pretty good stuff.
What's the longest you've ever looked at an extended forecast? 60 days is insane.
That is insane.
Yeah, that's
and it changes
crazy.
A ton.
I
know times, guys, where we've been going on vacation in like a month. Mm-hmm. So you look at the extended forecast and you kind of get in your head like, oh, the weather's going to be this. And then 10 days out, 7 days out, it's not even close. It's not even in the same hemisphere weather-wise. So I give it a little bit of credence, but not much. What about you, Chew?
No, especially on vacation. My wife drives me nuts. Because we're going to Mexico next Wednesday, and she's already looking at the forecast saying, it's going to rain the whole time. And you go down there, and it doesn't rain a drop. I'm like, will you learn at least 1 year when she said this, and the weather's perfect? I just dismiss it.
Yeah, I had a buddy complaining about what the weather's going to look like in Vegas when I'm going to be there in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And like, I have learned at this point, because I used to be one of those people, like, because you're getting excited for your vacation, it's completely understandable. I will look the day before what the weather's going to be like when I'm packing.
And the weather, well,
that's
first
it.
Of all, I got an issue with you packing the day before, okay? Like, I got this trip next week. I started packing yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be gone for 8 days. I'm going to be up in the mountains. I got to pack the snow gear. It doesn't matter. The point is, you can't look too far ahead. I don't even know how far you could look. I didn't even know you could look 60 days out. Did you, Joshy? Did you know that 60 days was an option when you're looking at the extended forecast?
So I did know that because they basically just use predictive models. But the models are they have such a range of outcomes that it could be the exact opposite of as we've indicated. I won't look more than 7 days. I feel like 7 days, I might not get the exact weather on the exact day, but I'm in the range of possibilities here. So if it's a week straight of rain, I'll be like, I'm probably going to get some rain. But if it's 1 or 2 days mixed in there, it's like, a chance of rain, but it looks like it's going to be fairly decent.
All right, I mean, according to the old Goog, 7 to 10 days in advance is the furthest you can reliably look for weather. Some experts may say the absolute limit is 3 weeks for any sort of reliable prediction. And we are still further than that out from the draft in Green Bay. I'm not saying it's going to be gorgeous weather, okay? I'm not saying we're going to get Miami weather here.
There's going to be a bad day. We know that. Just knowing Wisconsin weather in April, there's going to be a day where it's absolutely miserable to be out there.
I do like the inquiry, though, Chew. How far out do you look? Let's put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. How far out do you look for the weather? Do you look a day? Like, tomorrow. What is it tomorrow?
Hey, I leave from Vegas on a Sunday. I will look on Saturday.
Try it with hurricanes. So, you know, if there's a hurricane coming here, it takes a long time to get everything inside. She's like, there's one coming. I'm like, it's outside of Africa right now. You got to put all the stuff away. Are you kidding me? You know, it's...
Can we wait till it hits the Caribbean?
Yes.
We roll on right after this.